cheesy bites pizza, please.
Are you ready, bites? Start popping. These bites were made for popping, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these bites are gonna pop right into you.
The new cheesy bites pizza from Pizza Hut.
Roth Radio, baby. One of these days, these bites are going to pop right off the Super Bowl screen and into you. David Lee Roth, 866-313-3733. Yeah, so it was a Super Bowl weekend, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a great Super Bowl weekend? I had a great Super Bowl weekend.
Great. Yeah.
I caught a little of it.
I've still got a little bit of a hangover from it here.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm a little bit worn out from sitting next to the fake Paris Hilton. Maybe perhaps you've seen my photos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We know what you did at the weekend.
Oh, yeah. You know. Well, actually, we lived, we laughed, we loved, and we learned a little bit about each other. Which we did. I didn't learn anything about the real Paris Hilton, but I learned a little something about the fake Paris Hilton.
Uh-oh.
Sash, did you actually see my photo with the fake Paris Hilton, darling? Have you seen that? Have you seen it? It helps if you turn her microphone on.
I didn't see it. No, I did not see it.
Well, I suggest that you do.
Well, how much did you learn about the fake Paris Hilton?
Well, I learned that I couldn't read my telephone because I didn't have my glasses, right? And I leaned over. It was the beginning of a great relationship. Uh-huh. I said to her, "Excuse me, sweetie." I said, "Can you read this for me?" And you know what she said?
What did she say?
5:30. Oh, yeah. I know you wish you were there.
I do.
I could see that you wish you were there.
I do. Wish I was right in the middle.
Anyways, the fake Paris Hilton and I watched the Super Bowl last night, and she felt, as I did, that the overall commercial content was equally as contrived or whatever. Did you actually see the show, darling?
I did. I watched the whole thing. It was so boring.
Ooh, there's an editorial.
I was very upset.
There's an editorial that came out of nowhere quick. What was wrong with it? Go ahead.
Well, commercial-wise, was totally boring. So safe. They were so safe.
It seemed to me like we were watching a Walt Disney Christmas special, did it not?
It really did. There were actually commercials that I saw before, that I saw, like, previously on regular TV. They were boring. They were boring regular commercials that I saw on network television.
You've already seen those commercials,
yeah.
And they showed up on the air there?
Yeah. It was really...
I had not actually seen them, but it seemed to me like they really, really played safe, but they also played for women. Did you get that? Did you get that element? Obviously, you know, when you're talking about the Dove bar and, you know, and the general tone of everything, I thought, you know, when the streaking sheep for Budweiser, I think about beer drinking in the great outdoors, I don't think about sheep. It's a little broke back for me. Also at 7:30 this morning, coming in is Russell Simmons, going to be calling in here, special guest. I wonder if he was watching the Super Bowl.
I would assume so.
Did you like the Rolling Stones, Sash?
I liked the Rolling Stones, but I did like them. Their performance was also safe. They edited out a couple lines from their songs.
Yeah, they edited out, well, all the usual stuff. I don't know, was he actually swearing in this? Because it's almost obligatory that you use a swear word. Even Bono, you know, while he's saving the world, will drop the occasional F word to make sure that you understand, you know, that he's still part of that, you know. It's the Apache dance. You can usually see you can tell most readily when somebody's wearing a sport coat and they're wearing a pair of jeans at the same time. They're sort of torn. And you can tell a lot of times, you know, somebody like Mick is torn because there's nothing more acceptable, more American, more codified, more traditional, more Christian than the Super Bowl, right? Especially the way that it's depicted today. It's not depicted in the classic old, you know, dust up, you know, knock them out kind of a routine there, but it's more like I said, it's more like a family affair. He even talked about it and said that it's like a holiday. It's not so much like a fight. It's not so much like a war or when two colleges or two schools are feuding with each other. Isn't America based on feuds? I don't care if it's against the British or if it's in a NASCAR race or, you know, two race horses or the boxers. Who's the latest boxer? Where did you go to school, sweetie? Where'd you go to school?
College?
Yeah, what college?
I go to Fordham University.
Okay, who was your arch nemesis that you would play football?
Lehigh was our arch nemesis. I think so. But there were no brawls or, like, serious fights. We're an academic school.
But it was a rallying cry. You always had the pep rally and everything. Okay. Well, I'm wondering about what people thought of these general commercials, because I thought it was sort of it was bland. I thought it was really so beige, and I thought it was real predictable, and everybody played it really, really safe. And now everybody is waving the flag in general. And I'm reading things, you know, in the newspaper here. It says, well, actually, somebody, you know, actually gave Diddy a little bit of a blast here. It was a big waste, they said. I guess they're trying to appeal to people who like hip-hop, but it's so not hip. How do you appeal to people with hip-hop? Do you just play the music? Or do you get the actual artist? I would think that hip-hop community is already tied into the Super Bowl majorly. Animal, did you watch the Super Bowl last night? Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing except halftime and stuff. I had to go get a little something to eat and drink at halftime.
Oh, so you left when the white guy came on.
Yeah.
What percentage of players in the Super Bowl, like on a given team, are black now? Is it like basketball?
It's about like something like 85% maybe.
It's 8 out of 10, right?
Yeah, is anybody like that.
Producers in the back, I wonder, you can check that out for me. What's the story with that? I'm wondering. I'm just curious if that attracts more of an audience or if anybody actually even cares, because you're not as aware of it, right? You're watching. You do if you follow the background of the game, but it's not like basketball where you can really tell. You know, everybody kind of looks the same in football,
yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. They got a lot of, you know, Latinos and guys from Hawaii playing nowadays. So, you know, it's pretty mixed up out there.
Well, was the cat with the long hair from Hawaii, is he like Samoan
so.
Or something?
He's Samoan, yeah.
Samoan,
how
yeah.
come they let from him? Tonga. How come they let him have the long hair?
I don't know, man, because I know when I play, you'd have to net it up or plait it up. If you grab it, and you know, it's like a weapon. But I guess it's since they tag 15 yards onto it, pulling the hair, won't nobody grab it. But you know,
I'm wondering if there's like a religious connection or something
maybe.
Like that.
Yeah, they very religious and stuff over there in Tonga, man.
Is that where he's from? Tonga?
Well, if he's Samoan, that's basically where he probably would come from.
No. If he's Samoan, he comes from Samoa, Animal.
Well, same thing.
I know what you're thinking. It's the same freaking archipelago, right?
Yeah, that's something like that.
Now, are those dreadlocks that guy's got?
No, that's just regular long hair.
They look like they could take an eye out if they flip around and, you know.
No, what I don't know. I don't even know what position he plays, but I know the guy just from his look. I wonder how many, what kind of ads is he going to get up doing? Is he going to end up doing hair conditioner ads? What do you
probably.
Think? So?
Probably not.
Seriously.
But he is recognizable from that hair. I'm sure that's why he keeps it.
He's probably the most recognizable guy on the entire team because of that haircut. And I wonder if he invoked some religious or a family stipulation. Because I was over in Hawaii just recently, you know, going surfing a couple of times in the last 6 months. And virtually everybody there has got long hair. And I don't know that there's a religious connotation at all anymore. Be Young, you're a surfer. You're a religious surfer. What does it mean when you go over to the islands and everybody's got, you know, the long hair? What does that mean?
I don't know. It just means you like long hair. Free spirit.
Well, that's it. It's free
spirit. I tried cutting my hair once and it just it didn't hold. It didn't work. It didn't look like me anymore. So I had to let it grow back.
I think what happens is in order to get the long hair stipulation, somebody decides, you know, maybe they invoke a religion. Yeah. But I don't know.
It's part of my religion. I need my hair long.
I totally compared him to you yesterday.
Really?
Oh, let's hear about this. Like, he looks like Brian Young.
Hey. Except for four times bigger in black.
866-313-3733. Give me a call. Let me know what you thought of the Super Bowl ads, because I want to raise a question here. Okay, guys, let me speak here for a second. Is you hear about a number of comedians talking about the feminization of what's going on typically culturally in the United States today, and I'm wondering if that's what's happening on with the Super Bowl. Should it be just a family affair, or should we allow it to become that macho, because at one point, like throughout the 70s or whatever, it was considerably more roughhouse, it was considerably more macho, it was considerably more beer ads, you know, and barbecue and so forth, and frankly I kind of miss that. I feel I don't mind that there are a variety of different kinds of ads, and I understand that there's a lot of gals who, you know, who are watching the show, perhaps even 50%, but I'm wondering how many of those gals are actually just there because their husband is. I'm wondering how many of them are just involved because everybody else on the block is. Sash, do you have any visible interest in football at all?
Not at all.
Do you know what a first down is?
I have somewhat of a clue. I used to play video games, but I have...
Okay, stop. Well, now that's my point. That's my point right entirely there. But give me George here one time here. 866-313-3733. What was your favorite commercial, man? Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Dave? It's George from Boston. My favorite one was the they had the refrigerator. and the guy was filling the refrigerator with the Bud Lights.
Oh, okay.
And he had the revolving refrigerator for when the friends come over, and then they pan over to the other apartment.
Okay.
A bunch of college kids are grabbing all the beers, saying, the magic refrigerator's here. They start stealing all the beers out of it.
Okay, now that's completely a guy's commercial. That's completely
exactly.
Non-family. That's completely non-feminine. That's completely college frat house playing hockey in the hallway with your buddies with a rolled-up sock. Agreed?
I couldn't stop laughing.
It's curious that you would. It's curious that you would be the first one to call up with that commercial being first. What was your least favorite commercial, George?
The least favorite one was, I think, the Jessica Simpson, because you know it was just like, Papa Gino's or whatever it was, that pizza one.
Okay, but what was it about the commercial that you didn't like?
I don't know. It was too like candy cane-ish for me, you know? I don't know. I just didn't dig it. She was just there for the payoff. You understand what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, I think. And I think what I'm getting tired of is Jessica Simpson pretending to be somebody else. If you closed your eyes, was that not Britney Spears?
Right, exactly.
No, it sounded exactly like Britney and the overall thing. And what you're hearing is that she can't even sing that part. Everything there is. It sounds like somebody's mom just took off her apron at the end of kind of a chicken sticks dinner. She's actually feeding her kids pizza at home, kind of a mom, right?
And then she's feeding that little like yuppie kid, and he's just like drooling over. He don't even care about the pizza.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So do you think they're going to sell a lot more pizza because of that ad?
Yeah, probably. Probably to all the young kids that really follow Jessica Simpson, you know what I mean?
What about the old guys like me who like to follow Jessica Simpson?
Well,
I'll tell you,
there's a difference between the old guys that follow Jessica Simpson and can possibly have Jessica Simpson, you understand?
You are a very wise man, Mr. George.
You remember me, Dave, from Red Ball Jet. I'm the singer. I was at the party with you that time.
Outstanding. Thanks for calling up, George. God bless. 866-313-3733. Give me Sean here. He's got something to talk about at the Super Bowl right there. Sean, you're on the line. Go ahead, man.
Dave, it's an honor to talk to you, man.
Pleasure.
Well, the thing with the long hair, it becomes part of the uniform. If you have your hair below your name on the back of your jersey, NFL stipulations say it becomes part of the uniform, and it's you're allowed to grab it. The player can't do anything about it, and it just becomes part of the uniform.
So you take your own chances, you're saying, with a long haircut?
Yes, sir.
And what position does our fellow, what is the fellow's name with the long hair? What is his name?
He's a safety. He's a defenseman.
Oh, okay. So has anybody actually utilized that as a handle?
Oh yes, I'm an Eagles fan. A lot of the players, a lot of your Samoans have the long hair. A lot of your African Americans have the dreadlocks. NFL states if you want your hair that long, it becomes part of the uniform.
Okay, so what do you think in terms of what's happening with the family? Explore this with me if you would. If in terms of what's happening with the familyization of the Super Bowl, and in terms of especially the broadcasting and the appearance of it for the kids, et cetera, what happens down line, and it's coming, when they start to ban all of those kinds of affectations and all of those kinds of characters, because somebody just got shot, for example, in the hip-hop studio here. He was wearing a backwards baseball hat. I'm sure everybody in the studio had at least one earring in. I'm sure there were a lot of dreadlocks. So now a lot of pointy little ears in the White Castle establishment are looking and going, man, we don't want that connotation with football because, hip hop and rap and everything, people are killing each other there. So we want to ban all of that in football.
Do you think the NBA just did it?
I know. And that's why I'm saying to you, how will you feel when that happens for football? But when?
Very sad. I feel very sad. I mean, they take away our free speech. They're going to take away our looks. They're going to take away everything we have until we have nothing.
Well, this is kind of where I'm starting off on here in terms of I got no problem with family. I actually come from one. I know you don't believe it. I had a mom. I had a dad. I have two sisters and a dog named Irving, a total mongrel dog named Irving, and it was a female. Okay, so yeah, I come from a family. I understand families. I was a Boy Scout. I took karate lessons, and I know how to swim. So. That all stated, what I'm seeing is a filing off of the edges here that it's almost inevitable that is what's coming up next, and that's half the fun of watching the game. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree. I have three daughters, and they're fine. I think it's bad.
I think that's kind of what's coming around the corner here. You know, we're talking about the commercials and how we should kind of shape that up or tune those up. Okay, great. And we talk about, you know, in terms of trash talking and so forth. Okay, I understand that. Great, we make that a legitimate penalty, a foul, et cetera, et cetera. But right around the corner, I think, is just what's coming up for what they did with basketball. And I think that's going to be kind of a sad loss. Just like any other kind of a team, I understand everybody to look the same, but at the same time, we value the characters. I don't care if you're in a math class at Harvard or if you're in the Marine Corps. Everybody's kind of the same, but we still value the characters that stick their heads up and out of it here. Go on, give me the top one there. Donna wants to talk to me, Hutch. Roth Radio wants to talk to Donna. You're on. Go ahead, Donna. Is she there?
Hello?
Donna, you're on. Go ahead, baby.
Hello?
Donna, you're on. This is my last shot. Go ahead, baby. Next. Hit it up here for Greg on one time here, Hutch. Long hair in the NFL, 866-313-3733. You're on. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, David. Good to talk to you, man. I really enjoy you.
Pleasure.
Enjoy the show up here in Cleveland.
Go ahead. You're on, man. You have the spotlight.
Hey. Okay. A couple of Ohio State players was said that they had long hair, and they were honoring the Marine that was in the NFL, and he played for Ohio State. And there is a talk about a lot of the long hair is in honor of him.
You're losing me here. Tell me again here one more time. You're losing me here because your phone is fizzling a little bit. Go ahead a little slower. Go ahead.
The long hair may be in honor of the Marine that was killed in Afghanistan or Iraq. He played for Ohio State. Some of our Ohio State players have long hair, and they said it is in honor of the death of the soldier.
Why would it be an honor in the death of a soldier who's probably got a crew cut it by wearing long hair?
He had long hair. He played for Ohio State.
Oh, okay. And then he cut his hair
He went to the NFL and had long hair. And then he quit the NFL, gave up his dream, and he went to Afghanistan and got killed.
Oh, okay. I think I know this story. All right. I understand. Okay. Hey, signs and symbols. That's our culture, huh? That's a good story, actually. Interesting. So is this like an ongoing trend? Do you have any ideas? Are there more and more people picking up on this? Or
I've seen a lot of NFL players, and if you do a little checking into it, you may actually find out that, you know, that's what's going down.
Wouldn't that be funny if everybody started attaching the long hair idea to more than just the individual soldier, and they use the long hair to identify with the peace movement? Woo, 1968, huh, baby? Yeah.
David Lee Roth, mornings.
Hey, the guys are coming over to watch a game. Aren't you worried about them drinking all the Bud Light?
Not to worry. Look what I had installed.
A secret revolving wall. Dude, you're a genius.
Guys, hurry up! The magic fridge is back!
Refreshingly smooth Bud Light. Always worth it.
Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. The magic fridge is back. That was a decent commercial. I don't know if it was the best commercial. I don't know that there was any best commercial there. I don't know if there was anything actually groundbreaking to be had at all, except the idea that it was very much like a Hallmark Hall of Fame, kind of a Christmas card, holiday season sort of presentation. It's a small world, after all.
I got to admit, I did giggle at the sheep.
You giggled. Okay.
I gave the sheep a giggle.
I don't know if I attached the word giggle to the empirical value of the word Super Bowl. Giggle is something perhaps that comes along when, you know, you got a tickle. I don't know that anybody's tickling down there on the 50, you know, during the fourth quarter with how many minutes to go, okay?
All right.
At any rate, I can see either way. I just feel like arguing. 866-313-3733. Somebody wanted to talk here. Pick up any one of those, Hutch. It's all good here. 866-313. Johnny, you're on. Are you there?
Free Airways. We talked Friday about that truck ad.
Okay, now that you actually seen the truck ad, what's your take on that, Johnny?
Funny, man. I don't know how anybody can get in insulted over it.
I'm going to agree with you completely, and I'd like to just kind of harangue just for a second on this. I thought, here we spent so much time discussing this as if there was some morbid attack on the trucking nation, on those who move our food, who move our construction and control, therefore, the infrastructure of our society. And I was waiting for this. I was looking for the big banana peel and the big tush slam. You know, okay, somebody's going to take a real beating here. It's going to be really nothing.
The truck just turned down the road. It's not like he barreled over it and squashed the truck and, you know, some violence. He just, a little poor man with some horn going on and, see you later, Red Bull. Full throttle's here, you know?
Yeah, it took me almost to the end of the actual commercial before I realized that this was the very commercial in which we had been discussing. I had no idea until the end, because what I had initially, I don't know, maybe I just created it in my filthy little imagination. It's been known to happen. But I read from, the scripting here on Friday about, you know, a truck chases and this and that. So I was looking for something real predatory. I come from a long line of noble predators. I can recognize this. I can see it either way. And it was virtually nothing. Just a real slow car chase. Like one of those piss poor car chases that take place in San Diego every 6 months. And the guy's only going like about 20 miles an hour. and you almost wonder why the cops don't just jump out of the car and chase him down, right? You know? And yank him right out of the car or whatever. Animal, did you actually see this commercial? The one where the Red Bull truck is being chased by the great big whatever Budweiser driver?
Yes, I did see it. And it wasn't nothing. And I was wondering where the punchline was. And then when it was over, I was like, that's it.
And what was the energy drink that was actually chasing down Red Bull? What was it?
It's the one with the claws on it or something.
What was it?
It's called Full Throttle.
Full Throttle.
We have a case of it out there. Go grab a can.
We've got a case of every energy drink available out there now that they know that we're drinking this stuff. Is Full Throttle made by Coca-Cola or somebody?
Yeah, and it's got alcohol in it, Dave.
Ooh. Yes, wait a minute. So Full Throttle, no, this is something else.
Isn't that Full Throttle?
No, get out of here, Hutch. Keep your day job. 866-313-3733. No, I didn't see anything wrong with that commercial. In fact, again, like most of it, it was kind of bland. It was kind of beige. I didn't see, and there was no Jerry Bruckheimer car crash. There was no, significant humor to it. And the idea that there's a little Red Bull truck being chased, well, it should have been littler. It should have been smaller. There should have been maybe a geyser when something gets hit. You know, this is why they don't hire me to, you know, do the scripts on these things. At any rate, Johnny, thanks so much for calling here. Let's see what... I can't even read what she wrote up there. See what Bert wants to do on track 13 there, bro. 866-313-3733. Bert, you're on.
Dave.
Bert, what's cooking?
Hey, man, I've been hooked since Bottoms Up.
Okay, so what's on your mind this morning? What'd you think of this? What'd you think of these commercials and what was happening at the Super Bowl?
Oh, I was talking about Troy Palmer.
I'm sorry? You lost me.
Troy Palmer, number 43 for the Steelers, the one with the long hair.
Okay, and what's your take on him?
He's the second fastest guy on the team.
Okay, so they'll let you dress however you want as long as they can't catch you?
He's ahead of kids in the NFL too.
Well, I'm making fun because he is fun to watch. You know, I'm not gonna make fun of anybody who can't defend themselves or who isn't tall enough or strong enough to take it.
When people are chasing you around trying to pull your hair, you'll run real fast.
I'm certain of it. Well, he also represents. You know, there's an entire nation of people, whether it's connected to a tribal or to a spiritual issue or a charitable issue. There's just a lot of people with long hair out there. It's always fun to watch yourself race around.
We have a slogan. It's 70% of the world's covered with water, and Troy Palmer covers the rest.
Outstanding. Okay, well, that's you wake me up here. A little illumination. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Mike. What did you think of the commercials, man? Roth Radio, you're in the spotlight. Hit it, Mike.
Hey, buddy. Real quick, I got two things to say, just because I was listening. First, Full Throttle, if you ever try it, it's not that good. The real energy drink you want to get is Sobe Adrenaline Rush. Oh, it knocks Red Bull out of the water. And anyway, really, though.
Sobe Adrenaline Rush. Okay, yeah, Animal, jot that down.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah.
So anyway, what did you think of that trucker commercial? Did that Did that upset you in any way, shape, or form?
I didn't even know it was. I just listened to you guys talking about that. I didn't even know it was that. They were just chasing a Red Bull truck. That was all of it. And then Full Throttle energy drink, blah, 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 blah. And then Full Throttle was actually the pregame show. That's, why they had the commercial on the Super Bowl.
What did you think of the pregame with Neville and Aretha and the general band there? Did you see that part of the show there?
Who is that guy having a stroke? That African American having a stroke like during the national anthem? Who is that?
I think that's Aaron Neville.
Okay. I don't even know what he was singing. Aretha Franklin made it better, but overall the pregame wasn't that good. The Super Bowl was actually really boring. It was another game, you know, controlled by the referees. Seahawks should have like ran away with that, you know. And
there were some very interesting calls there, even with instant replay from five different angles in slow motion. There were some touchy calls there. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think Ben got that though. I mean, me and my friend were arguing about that all night. I think he got it though. When he stopped the replay for like that one hair, I think he got it. But you know, that's the only way I guess you can do it.
Okay, well, it sounds to me like you appreciated the game, but then all the trappings and the box that it came in was a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, even the commercials. The commercials were kind of bland, I guess. Like there was I like the Budweiser commercial where, I think the office guy had it hidden in the office. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, and everybody's punching through the walls.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. And I like the Sprint commercial with the phone, and they're like, it's criminal deterrent, and he threw it at his face.
You know what? I think what's probably what's happening is that most of these commercials are what I call art by committee. The absolute worst prescription that you could possibly deliver. And let me explain it this way to you. Don't go away. Is when you stand in a circle, suppose you stood in a circle and you handed out a box of crayons and you said to each person, I want you to take out the color crayons that you think are unacceptable for any reason. Just take out the color crayons that you think are unacceptable. And you have a whole variety, say 10 different people, different nationalities, stay in there. Well, one guy is going to go, well, I got to get rid of all the black and all the blue because all of the Mexican kids will use them for graffiti. So he takes all those colors out and throws them away. Then he passes the other guy the other box, right? And another guy says, well, you know, I'm Chinese and I'm real tired of being painted as just yellow. I have more identity than that. So all the yellow goes. Then you pass it around, and pretty soon, everybody's taking out the colors. They go, well, since you took out all the yellow, I'm getting rid of all the brown and all the red and so forth and on and on. By the time you've gone through the committee, you have no colors in the box. Pretty soon, everybody's found a reason to be insulted, just like with this worthless nonsense about this truck that chased down an innocent Red Bull truck. You follow my drift? I'm wondering how far we're going to let that continue. Do you think it's just going to continue on until ultimately even the players got to cut their hair and do like in the NBA? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, the NBA, I actually like that idea. I don't know. You're a professional. You got to look like a professional. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know. I guess they're going to keep on getting worse until eventually, you know, it just hits the fan, you know what I mean?
Well, you're saying until the doo-doo hits the ventilator, but hasn't it already done that in terms of the commercials and what we're seeing up there? Because it mostly looks to me like Walt Disney kind of commercials now. The whole affair strikes me as family affair, which is wonderful, but it's not how I was raised to it. And in something like football, which is so innately dramatic, so innately violent, so innately high contact, that to switch over for a Dove bar commercial for my skincare, not that I don't accept, but it's just a little unseemly to me. What about to you?
Right, I think so. And even the humor is not there anymore. Like, they used to, a couple years ago, they used to have the humor there. You used to be able to kind of laugh at the commercials, and now it's kind of like, I want to change the channel and watch something else.
No, now it's more like, sure. And, you know, they show pictures of kids. You can't go wrong with that. Those are like my kids. Show some animals. Show some animals, like a lamb. And I don't know that the two go together. It's sort of like black peppers and strawberry. Hey, maybe that actually does go together.
Yeah, that's good. I've tried that before.
Roth Radio, thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. I don't know. Somebody bring up on the Toyota commercial there. I don't know what Toyota commercial they were reflecting on. Go ahead, Matt. Roth Radio, you're in. What'd you think of it?
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Go ahead, brother.
All right, man. There was a Toyota commercial for the hybrid that was very early on in the game. It was in the first quarter. And it's a Latino American male with his son in the car, and the son's asking him, hey, Dad, how come you got a hybrid? And he's saying, well, you know, for your future, it burns less gas, et cetera, et cetera. And he was throwing in a couple of Spanish phrases here and there. And then the kid asks him, well, Dad, why'd you learn it to speak English? And he pauses for a second and he says to the son, for your future.
Okay, so that was for Chavez and all the Venezuelans who are arming themselves for the ongoing incoming American invasion. What is your thought on that commercial? I saw that commercial. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I just thought it a bit odd. I don't know if maybe they're trying to comment that, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not as acceptable to be Spanish-speaking American, or...
No, I think what they're commenting on is that everybody feels a little bit macho right around Super Bowl weekend. And it doesn't matter what neighborhood you're from, you're the man. Doesn't matter what community you come from, table number 9 rules. You remember, like, you know, that kind of thinking. And that's what the Super Bowl is for. So here's a Latino dad driving around with his kid, and the kid asks him, why'd you bother to learn English, Dad? He goes, for the future. It's the same way I hammer everybody and say, hey, man, you speak Spanish? Well, why freaking not? It's for the future, because you flex. And whether it's a Latino community or an Afro-American community or the Asian or the white Anglo, whatever community, everybody's flexing. There's a real good time to feel full of yourself. And that's why I question Massengill commercials following on the heels of a great riotous collision that is American football. What do you think, Ben?
Well, I could definitely agree with you on that point. It was just one of those commercials where it just kind of raised your eyebrows.
Good. Well, finally, something to make you wake up. A little artisticness. It's not art unless somebody goes, what? Hey, don't go away. We'll be back with more art stuff after this.
David Lee Roth. Mornings.
Dawn, early but so proudly we came at the twilight's last gleaming. Whose broad stripes and bright stars?
Okay, do we have your number? Do we have his number?
No.
We'll be right. We'll be in touch. Thank you. That was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Paula, what did you think? I think she's down. Jagger goes long. Aretha down on Neville's 50.
Whoa.
It's a pileup. All right. Put the loop in. And it's a pileup. Let's count what Aaron... Was that Aaron Neville? Is that his first name?
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's Aaron Neville.
Yeah. Should have been Smokey Robinson, though, man.
I think also... Yeah, well, he was up in that range, actually. I wonder... If I'm not mistaken, though, it was Stevie Wonder who was slated to actually do the show. Did he not find the stadium?
Stevie did the pregame, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He did the pregame. Okay, yeah. Well, he was in there then. I don't know. I myself am not terribly much an Aaron Neville fan so much. Look at the face that Sasha is making. Okay, 21-year-old voter block, weigh in. Do you like Aaron Neville,
not
Sasha?
Not so much, no. And I didn't like the way he sounded at all.
Sweet. Well, we'll see. When he sings, he sounds strange. A little bit like you, but you're a 21-year-old white girl from New Jersey.
I have an excuse.
Right?
Yes.
It's affectation is what it is. Come on. How much things was Aaron wearing, actually? Did he have a hat on?
No.
I saw his nipple.
Oh, no.
And then Aretha came in and got, you know, she chased after it here. But you would think also that they'd be able to construct the technical behind the scenes a little bit better. Like, come on, they're singing. Let's hear the vocal. Just like same thing with the Stones. They pop out there and always you have that initial, you know, that time period or whatever. What have you? What are you showing me the sign here?
I've got the Stevie Wonder clip if you want to hear it.
Yeah, put on Stevie. Let's see if that beat Aaron it to any degree here. Go ahead, swing, man. Get it up. Sounds like a girl. Listen. That is not Stevie Wonder. Don't tell me that was Stevie Wonder. That was somebody else singing. What was?
Joss Stone sang with Stevie Wonder.
Okay. All right. So my ears are not a fool. What do I win? Do I win another date with the fake Paris Hilton? Because I want that. It's even better than the real thing, possibly.
Probably.
You think?
Definitely.
I'm gonna want to talk about that later. So that was Joss Stone doing Stevie Wonder. Oh, bad choice of verbs, but it's a little early. Did Stevie actually sing? He got it. He got his chops in there, right?
Yeah, they were both singing.
Okay. Well, then, you know, all right, they're making the effort. I think they made the musical effort. I don't know that the Rolling Stones was the legit choice. It's a super hyper popular band, right? Should it have been an American band? Should it have been somebody from the United States? Or is this now a truly international issue? Sash, 21, hit me.
Well, I enjoyed the Rolling Stones. Last year, it wasn't an American person either. It was all Paul McCartney, right? And it's safe.
Okay, it is very safe. That's an interesting call.
There's nobody right now, I think, contemporary that could perform during the halftime show. I mean,
wait a minute, hot stuff.
They put on a good show, I think.
Oh, in terms of a rock and roll band?
Yeah.
Going, Van Halen should have done it.
Except for Van Halen.
Van Halen should have done the reunion. What's more quintessential of an American band today?
Idea.
Sorry?
That wouldn't have been a bad idea.
No, it would have been a spectacular idea. And those songs are as familiar, like what we just played earlier, the mashup with Christina Aguilera. It fits. It's whatever. Anyways, Donna, she says she's got a favorite commercial. Donna Roth Radio, you're in the spotlight. Go ahead, Donna. Oh,
hi,
Donna.
I love you.
I love you.
I'm so glad to be on the radio with you.
I'm so glad you are here with me. And now I have full power.
Sorry, go ahead. It's the Red Bull, baby. I began to riff.
I loved the first of all, the whole thing, it was very family-oriented. I mean, did you see the way they began the show with, oh, the places you will go, and the reciting different lines from that book and the Dr. Seuss book? My kids were really drawn to it.
Okay, and how old are your kids?
4 and 7.
Okay, well.
And this was the first time I ever watched with them, so.
The first time you ever first time you've ever watched Indiana Jones butcher Dr. Seuss? Is that what, I hate to inject a little editorial, but it's what they pay me to do, hot stuff. Go ahead, find your way through.
It was a lot better than Aaron Neville.
Okay, what did you?
I really wanted to run out and shoot myself on the lawn when I heard him sing.
Well, Aaron is affectation. If you count up all the things that somebody like Aaron is wearing, he's got the gymnasium body, he's got the hair conditioner, he's got the facial tattoo, the gold teeth, he's got the mustache. I'm up to 5 things already, okay? I'm sure there's toe polish in there somewhere, the belt buckle, the special shoes, etc. The voice goes right along with all of the affect. Think of like somebody like Bruce Springsteen, who wears basically nothing, or has always worn basically nothing, always a work shirt and a pair of jeans, who's got the voice. When it's all affectation, then the voice starts to sound like affectation. So a lot like with Jessica Simpson. It's all affectation. When you have a girlfriend with a haircut like that, it's like an animal. Well, the haircut's getting tired. It has to go inside. It's too humid. The haircut has to be away from humidity. The haircut doesn't like salt water. The haircut, Donna, but the haircut cannot go into the swimming pool. And you have to care for it in that respect there. But did you have a favorite commercial that you really loved?
Actually, I loved the ones where I think it was for a mortgage company, and it said, you know, don't judge too quickly. And they had like 2 different ones that I had seen, and one was a woman in the airplane. It was a crowded airplane, and she was trying to get off get to the ladies' room, and a man was asleep, and her button got caught on the seat, and then the plane sort of shifted, and the lights went on, and here she is kind of smack sitting on this man's lap with her blouse on. But
oh, my God, that's sexist. That's assault. She's sexually harassing somebody who's unable to protect themselves in a jurisdiction that certifiably is a very dangerous place. This is a terrorist act. I think there's a lawsuit. I think this is actionable. I don't have to work here anymore. I'm going to be a millionaire once I process this lawsuit. Right? That's as American as the Super Bowl, right?
It was funny. It was very funny. And then there was another one that they did as well.
Well, I agree with you that the general humor, football and humor go together. I don't know if football and Dr. Seuss necessarily go together. Agreed or disagree?
Well, you know, I agree with you, and I would have said a few years ago that it was probably way too tame. But having sat there with two of my children, I thought, you know what, this is kind of nice because I don't have to worry. And when Mick Jagger was singing his song, I was kind of holding breath at one part thinking, okay, because the kids were really into it.
Okay.
And they did bleep out, you know, a few choice words. So
okay.
I
think that's wonderful on behalf of your young children. How did you explain to the kids when they did that brief retrospective on Jack Tatum, who used to do the practice called clotheslining when he played, I believe it was for the Oakland Raiders during their heyday, and he clotheslined somebody into being a quadriplegic. How did you explain that to the children?
I didn't explain that to the children.
Well, wait a minute, because that's a big part of football. That's a real big part of lessons to be learned from football, that there's a lot of positive and a lot of negative to football. Football is war minus the death if you play it correctly. But all the lessons that we learn are the lessons that we must learn to ascribe whether or not we defeat war or whether or not we ascribe to going to war. This is where you learn all the lessons. You mean you didn't tell them, teach them, share with them one of the most valuable lessons to be learned from football?
Which is?
Well, wait, I want to see if you know. I rarely ask questions I don't already know the answer to here. I want to see if you're willing to share it with me. What is that lesson?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it is a violent sport.
Yeah, just like life. Just like real life. And that's why we have our kids go to football. That's why we have them watch it. That's why we send them to play football in Mr. Giebler's fourth grade class. And that's why we send them like I did to Pop Warner. And that's why we witness it through junior high and high school and then college and then pro league. And then even now people play it in pickup games because it absolutely symbolizes life. And sometimes you win and sometimes you get your face stomped in and sometimes you just get rained out. Sounds to me like you left out a couple of the lessons, my friend.
Well, you know, we try to keep it G-rated in our household sometimes.
Well, and that'll be perfect for them when they get old enough to get into an automobile and leave your lessons behind. And they only understand the Dr. Seuss element of the clotheslining that society's probably going to apply to them, whether or not they join sports or corporate environment. Agreed or disagree?
Well, I agree. But at 4 and 7, I feel like, you know, sometimes we want to make things as safe and pleasant as possible while we can, because I know only too well that in a few short years, you know, it's going to be a totally different ball game. And, you know, we get letters sent home, and my son's in first grade, about, you know, you got to talk to your kids about the choking game because it's become a big issue with us in first grade already. So.
Well, how do you explain to somebody getting carried off the field like the fellow who did the head flip, smashed his back, and got carried off the field there? I've had a couple of back operations. You going to wait a while, or are you just going to let the hope that they interpret that correctly?
Well, I think that's something that we grow into, and we just sort of, you know, the lessons come up, and then you sort of explain them. But
sounds like the lesson already came up, and you didn't want to explain it, Mom.
Hey, give me a break.
One break coming up. We'll be right back after this.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings,